Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We're going to finish the parak today of Shmone Shratim. I'm going to start with Eruv Sharim. But we're at the bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Bet. So we ended off yesterday. We had the pasuk Tan Rabbah Atzechem Lo Tasu, and we said Bachem Lo Tasu. That was Rabbi Chanina. They said that basically it was asur to do sirus. So our question was, how could you drink that drink? Right, of the akarim, which would cause a person to be sterilized. So Gemara said, no, because it's happening on his own. It's not like a byproduct. You didn't plan on doing it. You did something else. Well, even if you planned, doesn't matter. You didn't do anything. It happened on its own. And we brought the example of the chicken. We said that if you take the chicken, you tell Kabbalatam umistares malav, basically the chicken will then become sterilized. The Gemara is like, this we got up to yesterday. Rav Ashi said, no, that isn't the same. Why? Because Ramut Ruchahu de Nakitale. Well, the chicken didn't become permanent, properly, physically sterilized. What happened was the chicken became, lost its confidence, right? That's, if you look, he says, Ramut. Rav Chud, the kid, look at Rashi over here. V'am Rav Ashi, the last lines at the bottom, the first wide lines. V'am Rav Ashi, Dahu Lav Sirusu. That's not Sirus. That's not sterilization. Ela Ramot Ruchin Nekitele, the time ago. What happened? Umishe Nital Hodo. You took away its glory. Right? Hu Mitabel. The chicken starts going into mourning, becomes depressed. Ve'eno meshamesh, and then stops having relations with other chickens. Aval besirus, afilu mimele asur. So he says, no, that's not a good answer. You can't bring the chicken. The chicken is the chicken. The guy becomes depressed. That's not sirus. But even sirus, if it's going to be a byproduct and you know there's going to be an outcome, that would still be asur. So the guru says, okay, so what are we speaking about over here? This is a good kasha now. How can you drink this? Because you know what we're speaking about? Ela basaris. Who can drink that drink and they need to stop their sickness? Someone who's already sterilized. And therefore, someone who's sterilized, we don't worry because they can't become sterilized again. They're already sterilized. So the Gemara says, but how can that be? Right? V'ham Rab Chia Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim b'mechametz achar mechametz shuchayev. Shinema lota fe chametz. Lota se chametz. What do you say over here? No, that can't be the case. Because we see when it comes to chometz, right, to chametz, that even if it's already chametz, you can't make it more chametz. But you can't do something which would be a chimutz process, even to something which was already chametz. Look at Rashi. Afal pi shenechleku bechor sheachzu dam imekizin or ein mekizin. Do you remember this? Right, with regards to a bechor, right, a bechor has got kedusha. You can't cause a mum to an animal that's a bechor, a firstborn animal. You can't make a mum. But now, what if you need, if it's storing a lot of blood, it's already got a mum, and you want to release that blood, can you make a mum on a mum? It's already a mum. Right, so there is a machloket. Have a make a mum, bebal mum. We can demand the shari lakizov lasoto bo mum. And there's some who say it's mutar. Even those, this is a gemori menachot, even those who say that there's a machloket with regards to Bechor, they all agree, says Rashi, Mechametz Mincha Achar Mechametz. See, for example, we know Chometz from Pesach, but even a Korban Mincha in the Beit HaMikdash couldn't become Chametz. Right? We know there's certain Korban which were Chametz, for example, the Korban Todah is Chametz. Remember we discussed, that's why we don't say Mizmor L'Todin Adavning Erev Pesach. Because the Korban Todah was Chametz. So therefore, there wasn't a korban ktoda of chametz of Pesach. So we don't say mizmor ktoda erev Pesach for that reason, right? But so with regards to a korban, you see, everybody agrees that you can't do chimutz. Shekol asiyoteh shel mincha neshu b'chimutz. Right, and also, so too says Jesus over here, and so too says Rabbi Chia Bar Abba in Amar Rabbi Yochanan. With regards to Mesares as well, everybody agrees. Mesares achar Mesares shehu chayev. Even if a person's already a sirus, a mesuras, and you now come and do something else, it's also asur. Shneimar umauch vechatut venatut vecharuk. We saw that the other day. These are psukim with regards to korbanot. Right? We saw the whole makoria for sirus. We talk about a korban with regards to korbanot. Right? We saw that. I think Daf Kuf Tet. In Daf Kuf Tet, we had. Daf Kuf Tet, was it yesterday's Daf? Right, yesterday's Daf. Kuf Yud. If you go to Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Amud Bet. The passage we brought there was Umauch Vechatut Vedatuk Vecharut Lo Takrivu Lashem. You can't bring an animal whose testicles are crushed or chopped or cut off or sort of dismembered. Lo takrim, you can't bring it as a korban. And then we said lo ta'asu. And we said, what is lo ta'asu? We said lo ta'asu bachem, lo ta'asu. Even to you. That's how, that was our limud. See how the bright is saying, the pasuk says, u'ma'uch v'chatut v'natuk v'charut, im al karut chayav. Then al natuk lo kol shekai. So the Gemara says, what do we need to learn all these words for ma'uch v'chatut v'natuk? If karut, just cut, is chayav, then surely natuk, just separate, is a kol shekai. We don't need a pasuk to tell me that. That's pasuk. So why does the pasuk say natuk? Elavi notek achar koret. Tell us that if it's already chopped and then you tear it off completely, that's all another isur. But it was already sterilized. If the animal's member is cut in half, it can't do anything with it. Now you go and take it off completely. What have you done? That's the chidush. Sirus achar sirus, yosachayev. So therefore, it doesn't help us that you can give us this potion to someone to drink who's already sterilized. Because there's an isur of doing stuff which would sterilize even to somebody who's sterilized. That's the least half a minute, right? He wants to say, okay, you're right. Ela bezaken. Now, why is that relevant, ela bezaken? So therefore, we must be speaking about an older person. An old person who was already naturally sterilized. A person who's already at an age where they can't have children any longer. The Gemara is talking here of Sirus. If you take a look at the Tosfot here on the side of the page. Ela bezaken. Is that Tosfot there? Right at the top. Hacha, in a case like this, lo shayich, le mesar mishum mesares achar mesares. It's not relevant to say that there's an isur of sterilizing after sterilizing. Diskeina lav sirusu, zikna lav sirusu. Zikna, age, is not sirus. Sirus is an action, something physical that happens to the body. Age, menopause, something which just happens on its own. The Gemara is saying at the stage, the change in stages, that's not sirus. So therefore, if a person's old and they now stop being able to have children, that's not the same as that they were mesuras. And now the whole concept of sirus is not shaykh to them. So it's a big chidush. Okay, so when we say sirus achar sirus, we're talking about physical sirus after physical sirus. Age is an automatic case situation. That person's not in the category, not in the world of sirus. That's what the Gemara wants to say. How can that be? Look at this. This is amazing. Look at Rabbi Yochanan. Look at Rashi over here. Hein. Harufuot hamurot sham. Lemi she'enu bari v'tashmish. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Achar she'zikanti. Hechziruni otan refuot l'narotai l'tashmish. Al-mezaken monid. Rabbi Yochanan seems to say, there's some medicine, some sort of medical science. Create a situation where a person who was old could start having children all over again. So we see over there that age isn't a factor, that you can have children when you're old. So age doesn't necessarily automatically create a person who can't have children, put him in states where he's considered a misuras. So the answer of giving this to an old person is not not relevant any longer. Elab Isha was okay, we must be speaking about an Isha. One Isha. Look at Rashi. She'ena metzuva b'priya v'rviya. K'namrin v'vivamot. Pruvu melu et ha'aretz v'chavshua ish darko l'chavesh v'en darko shlish l'chavesh. Chidush. A woman is not metzuva, is not commanded in priya v'rviya. So therefore, a man who's got the mitzvah of multiplying, so he it becomes asur to do sirus. But a woman has got no mitzvah in the first place. And we learn from the pasuk, it says pruvu, right? V'dichbosh et ha'aretz. And who does, it says here, pru'urvu, umelot arit, sorry, uch v'chavshua. Fill the land and conquer it. And who does conquering? That's a Gemara we learned as well, in Yevamot. Men are the conquerors, and not women are conquerors. So therefore, men are the ones who are commanded to fill the world and conquer, not women. So women's...
Didn't they, Didn't they say earlier that you can't, sterilize animals?
Talking about sterilized animals, we're talking about animals, they was korbanot. The animals we spoke about, they were korbanot. Now, there's an issue as well to do serious on, there is an issue as well to do serious on animals. It's a big problem with sterilizing animals as well. If it's a drabanan, I'm 100% sure. The Gemara at the moment is saying...
The reason is not true or who.
It's not, maybe it is. There's no mitzvah. Animals haven't got a mitzvah. Right? So definitely can't be the mitzvah pruvu. But maybe still you don't want to interfere with the life process of animals. Exactly why animals are so, I'm 100% sure. That's a good question, but I'm 100% sure. But here we're definitely speaking, like you point out yourself, we're speaking here about the mitzvah. Here we come from the angle of the mitzvah, right? So therefore, maybe with a woman, aren't mitzvah, but look at this. The Gemara is not too happy with that. Take a look here at Gemara, Yevamot, and Kiddushin, and Gittin. Or Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruka, Da'amar al Shnehem, who omer, Vayevarech otam Elohim, Vayomelhem prurvu. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruka, women are mitzvah. Not a pashut. The pasuk was speaking to both them. The Torah spoke to women and men. So then how are you going to tell me now that we're speaking here about women? So my kelim, what are you going to say? Beskeina inami be'akara. So the Gemara says, okay, we obviously come to the conclusion that we're speaking about either an older woman, a skeina. Right? Look at Tosfot on the side, yeah? Beskeina u'be'akara, either an older woman or a barren woman. Be'isha nami lo shayich ba mesares achar mesares de'ein shayach ba sirus. He says the concept of sirus isn't relevant to a woman. Now, I think what he means over here is that sirus, we see in the pasuk, is ma'uch v'chatut v'natut v'charut, is cutting off the male organ. And that's not relevant to a woman. So therefore, that concept of sirus, we can maybe sterilize a woman, but sirus doesn't actually apply. And therefore, you can't say sirus achar sirus with a woman. Natut v'charut. I'm not 100% clear how this whole idea works. But look at Rashi over here. No, there's no Rashi over there. So that we come to, basically the Gemara in the end concludes that who could you give this drink to? Either to a woman maybe, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruka would be a problem because he says women are also mitzvah, or an older woman, an old lady. And then we go back to the first Tosfot who says that once a person has reached an old age, they're out of the realms of childbirth. We got a difficulty with Rabbi Yochanan who says that he was able to become reinstated at an older age. But bottom line, we would be able to find some answer to that question. Okay. Now we started now we end off the Perek with a course in dentistry. Okay, so I said to Sal, when this could be considered a hishtalmut for him, he must speak to the medical dentist to see if they recognize this amud as a hishtalmut. The Mishnah says like this, Hachoshesh b'shinav, if you got pain in your teeth, lo yigmar b'hidachomet. Right, so don't gargle with vinegar. The Aruch brings the Aruch says lo yigma, right? Yigma with an aleph, by the way, right? To swallow, drink, or gargle vinegar. Aval metabel hu kedak. We're speaking now on Shabbos, right? The idea is don't because it looks like refuah. So if you're sitting at home and your whole family know that you've got toothache and you're walking around the whole day saying you've got toothache, and you now go and start gargling with vinegar, it's pashut to everybody that you are using it for refuah. Okay, and that would be asur on Shabbos. Avam mitab.
And therefore, as this, it's asur doraita. That's what you're saying.
No, medical. We know that all the isurim of medicine are all drabanan. Everything is shemiyah of the simanim. The only thing that is doraita is this is the simanim. Is crushing those things to make this. Right. Everything else, Rabbanan. Achoshesh b'shinav lo yigma ben achomet. Aval, what can you do? Metabelu kedarko. Carry on the way you're doing. In other words, dip your pitta into your vinegar. I suppose it seems from the scene it up until now in the Mishnah, that's a common way to eat. They would use a lot of vinegar and dip their food in vinegar. So Rashi says, yeah, metabel kedarko ma'achalo upito bechomet, his food and his pitta in vinegar. And go along and eat. Ve'im nitrape, nitrape. You know what? If it works, it works. But don't take up a sip of vinegar, a cup of vinegar, and start gargling. Then the Mishnah, Choshesh be Motnav, right? If you've got problems now with your loins, Don't go and start bathing yourself or rubbing wine and vinegar on them. Aval sachu et hashemen, right? You put oil on you. Velo shemen verit, but not rose oil. Yeah, you see, the Mishnah will explain in a second what we're speaking about. Look at Rashi over here. Right, lo yasuch ben yain v'chometz, the ein adam sachoto el refua. Because it's pashut that if you start rubbing wine and vinegar on your body, it's for refua. However, what can you do? You could put a bit of oil on, but Tanakama says over here, aval lo shemen vered, right, lefi shedama v'yekren, it's very expensive oil, v'eino matsui, it's not common, u'muchecha milta del refua avid. And it's pashut then to everybody that using this very expensive oils. Why? Because it's for medicinal purposes. However, b'nei melachim, princes, rich people, sachin shemen vered al machkotehen, they allowed on Shabbos to even put shemen vered on their wounds. Why? Shechein darkan lasuch b'chol. Look at Rashi, because they're doing it during the week. Below makkah. If they haven't got a makkah, rich people, princes, princesses, they use the best. Therefore, they bring out the best oils and they're using it all the time. And therefore, to them, it's okay because it's something they would do during the week. Now comes an amazing Mishnah statement here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim haim. Am Yisrael are princes. And therefore, if Tanakhama says that princes can use this varied oil, then Am Yisrael are princes. They can all use this varied oil as well. It's amazing, Rabbi Shimon, and it's halacha lemaaseh. We'll see in a second how the Gemara takes it. So now, let's just quickly sum up. So we've got a situation over here where vinegar you can't gargle with, but you can drink in your pitta, not a problem, because it'll just seem like you're eating normally. If it works, it works. Don't rub yourself down with wine and vinegar on Shabbos, but you can use a bit of oil, but not too expensive oil. Shimon says you can. Now, let's understand Rabbi Shimon for a moment. We know that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda got a machloket, right, on davar she'eino mitkaveh. Right, if I intended to do something, it's a problem. If I didn't intend to do something and it happened nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon says patur on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says chayef. Correct? We've been through that many times. Then we know as well that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on psikresha, right? That psikresha. Right? You davar she'eino mitkaveh, but if you've got a psikresha and it's going to happen all on its own, and you know for a fact it's going to happen, even Rabbi Shimon would say you can't do it. The question now is, rubbing this vinegar or rubbing this oil on your body, is it a psikresha or not a psikresha? Is it definitely going to help you or not going to help you? Is it davar she'eino mitkaveh? You wanted it to sort yourself out nicely and I'd also cured you. Would we now say you can't do it on Shabbos?
But if it's all the Rabbanan there, why is that issue relevant to davar she'eino mitkaveh and psikresha? It's a different ball game. It's a Rabbanan.
We never saw that davar she'eino mitkaveh was only asur on Yisrael Deraita. Even in Yisrael Derabbanan, and if it's a davar she'eino mitkaveh, it would be asur. Let's see.
What was that?
I always thought that even a davar she'eino mitkaveh is even with a Derabbanan. Why is an Yisrael Derabbanan less? I know why it's less, but why would you think that a davar she'eino mitkaveh is only a Deraita? That's a good question. I'm asking you a question. I'm not arguing with you.
No, I'm saying. I thought that was their machloket were on Isur Doraitas, and that's what they were, you know, their philosophical differences were debating on.
But I think once we have an Isur
Shratzim, you can probably say it sounds like a Shvud de Shvud almost, the Rabbanan, and it's a Davar she'eino mitkaveh, so of course I can do it. I don't know.
Okay, it's interesting what you're saying. Let's see how the Gemara takes it. I brought it up as a bit of a background to what's happening, so things will become clearer to us, especially when we turn over the page. But let's see, interesting, to be honest with you, it's a good point that you're raising. Let's bear in mind what Robert just said and see how we go with it. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Ramilei Rav Acha Aricha, the tall Aricha, he's got a bit of a problem here. He raises a stira. Dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa. And who is that? He's Rav Acha Bar Papa, Rabbi Abahu. And he also kashit Rabbi Abahu. He says like this: Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, Hachoshesh b'shinav lo yigma b'enet hachometz. Don't gargle with vinegar if your teeth are hurting on Shabbos. Lemeimre, what do we see from that? Why can't we do this? The chometz ma'ale l'shinayim, because vinegar is good for your teeth. V'ha ketiv, but now we have a pasuk that says Kechomet l'shinayim u'ka'ashan l'enayim. He quotes a pasuk over here. This is a pasuk from Mishle that says vinegar to the teeth is like smoke to the eyes. Smoke to the eyes is not a pretty good thing. So it appears that vinegar is bad for your teeth. So now says Rabbi Abahu lo kashya, ha bekiyua depri ha bechala. Look at Rashi over here. Ha bekilu kiyua, yayin shelo nitpashel kol tzorko bein vav. So wine, right, which seems that it didn't ripen properly while they were grapes, and then you made a vinegar out of it. So that would be kashya leshinayim. That would be bad for your teeth. Says here, lo ha bekiyua depri hu ha bechala. So if you've got like a bad wine, okay, vinegar, like a wine vinegar or a bad wine that's unripened, whatever, that would be bad for you. And habachala, but vinegar would be good for you. Good vinegar, nice vinegar would be good for you. So it depends what the ingredients were. So that pasuk there in Mishle is talking about something else. V'ibad Eman, another possible answer is hava habachala. Now we're both speaking about both the brayta and the pasuk are speaking about vinegar. How come one is good for you, one is bad for you? Ha de ikamaka, ha de leikamaka. Would depend whether you have a bruise or a mark or a wound or you don't have a wound. Ika maka masi. If there is a wound there, so the vinegar will work on the wound and fix up the wound in your mouth. Now, let's say you got like some sort of a tear in your gum or a hole in your gum, whatever, the vinegar will help you. Leika maka marpe. But if you haven't got a maka, then look at Rashi over here. Tzomet abasar vashinayim. So at the root over there, where of your teeth and your gums. Right, nirapim ruchukim zemizeh will become weaker and softer, and basically the teeth will separate, and you won't have a good situation in your mouth. So that will be depending. If you haven't got a wound in your mouth, the vinegar is going to start working on the gums, and it's going to loosen the teeth, and you're going to have loose teeth, and you're going to become wounded in the end. So if you've got a wound in the mouth, the vinegar will go straight there and attack that and start dealing with the wound. But if you haven't got a wound, the vinegar is going to do something for you, and that would ruin your mouth. That's the two possible answers that he gives. Then the Mishnah said, "Lo yigmar ben rachomets." Right? Don't gargle with this vinegar. Where it says, "Vahatanya lo yigmar vepolet, aval megameh vebolea." We've got a brighter that seems to be a steerer to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, "Under all circumstances, don't use vinegar." The Gemara quotes a brighter there in Masechet Beitza, which is discussing Shulam and Yontif, and says, "No, you can't gargle and spit out." But you can swallow. Suppose when you're spitting out, then it's clear you don't really want the vinegar, then you're only doing it for medicinal purposes. If you swallow, maybe you're a meshugga, you like to drink vinegar. That'll be okay. So Amar Abaya, Abaya says, no. Kitnan, our Mishnah is also matnitim megameh poletnan. When our Mishnah said over here, tzedachoshesh b'shinav lo yigmar b'nit achometz, it means don't gargle and spit out. Doesn't mean drink. And therefore our Mishnah is in line with our brayta. So that's Abaya. Rava says no. Rava says, afilu taima megameh boleya. She says, no, Rava says it could be the same thing that even our Mishnah could be speaking about swallowing. Right? Not necessarily spitting out. Right? Kan lifnei tibu, kan la'achar tibu. What would be the case of here? Lifnei tibu, look at Rashi. Lifnei achila muta. If you haven't eaten yet, so then it's okay. Why? She dark nayal itbol b'chometz b'chol yom. Varei omer zehu tibulo. Right? Taking vinegar on its own could even be a problem. Even eating the vinegar, drinking the vinegar, but it would depend. If you hadn't eaten yet, because it was a custom, like Rashi said, to dip your pitta into vinegar. So if somebody sees you before you start eating, you think, that's your vinegar that you're having. But if it's after you've already eaten, right? Look here. He says, "Livnei tibul livnei achil muta." Should have got it tibul. Uvareo meze tibul or ulachar tibul asur. If you already dunked your pit, you've eaten your bread, then it'd be asur. Even if you're going to drink it, why? Hakol yodin shekvar saad v'taval kol tzorko. People know you've already finished eating. You're satisfied. What you now suddenly going and drinking some vinegar for? She's even more machmir. Rava says even drinking it could be asur. So where our brayta says that it's mutar to swallow it, you can't gargle. And Abaye said, no, our brayta is talking about where you aren't swallowing, where only you're gargling and spitting out. But if you're swallowing, it would be okay. Rava says, no, even swallowing could be asur, depending when. If you hadn't eaten yet, it's okay. people have already seen you eating a whole meal, you dipped your pit in, you've had your vinegar for the day, and now you start drinking vinegar, they'll realize that it's for medicinal purposes as well. The Gemara says, V'neima midirifnei tibul shari, la'achar tibul nami shari. So wait a second. If you want to tell me that before you did your eating, it would be okay because people hadn't seen you eating or not, what are we saying? We're saying there's a part of the day on Shabbos when it would be mutar to take vinegar, right, and even drink it, or even spit it out, or do whatever you want with it. So if that's the case, l'achar tibul nami shari, we're going to have to say that afterwards, at any given time of the day, it would be mutar. Why? Now here comes an interesting halacha. I don't remember ever learning this together with all of you. He says like this, the itlay hoil. There's this concept of hoil. Hoil means since. Now what does since mean? Since something was okay, then it's always okay. Or since something was mutar, must always be mutar. Since something was asur, must always be amasur. It's like a type of a migo idea, right? Different to a migo, but a migo is mitoch. Because of something else, we say something else. So we've got this concept of hoil. Now, how does the hoil work? He says, because we hold of Rava, who says hoil. The Amar Rava, what does Rava say? Leike midi de Shabbat, de b'Shabbat shari, uve Yom HaKippurim asur. There's nothing that you can do on Shabbos that's asur on Yom Kippur. Hoil, because de b'Shabbat shari, Yom HaKippurim Nami Shari. Since it was Mutar on Shabbos, Yom Kippur is called Shabbaton. So Yom Kippur is a Shabbos. So therefore, we're not discussing eating now, right? On Shabbos you can eat. Obviously Yom Kippur you can't eat because the Inyana de Yom of Yom Kippur, right, is not to eat. But he's not talking about that. He's saying anything else that's not Asur specifically on Yom Kippur, but it's only Asur on Yom Kippur because of the Shabbos element of Yom Kippur. If it's Mutar on Shabbos, it will be Mutar Yom Kippur as well. Because there's a concept of hoil. If it's mutar on Shabbos, it's mutar Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Look at the Rashi over here. It's a long Rashi. I wasn't going to plan on doing the whole thing, but let's just read it quickly. It says, V'nei m'midi lifnei tibul shari, te'ein lecha she'asu le'miktzat ha'Shabbos u'mutar le'miktzatot. There's no such concept of something which is asur for part of Shabbos and mutar for part of Shabbos. Either it's mutar or it's asur. Te'hashmin and Rav, perek yutet b'masechet beitza. In Beitza we learned the Amar Gabe Tfila with regards to Hoyel Bechihai Gavlin Iktani Hatam the Ein Matbirin Kailim Shabbat V'Adam Tovel. I mean, there we've got a situation that he's speaking there about going to the mikvah. Now a person can't Tovel Kailim. Why can't you Tovel Kailim? Because when you put your Kailim into a mikvah, that's called Tikkun. Right? And Tikkun money. We don't allow Tikkun on Shabbos. V'Amrina and Kailim, my time alone. So how come you can, a man can go to the mikvah, and Caleb, you can't go to the mikvah. I'm a rav, we've seen this before a few times, but people look at just cooling themselves off. So you see a guy in the mikvah, you think he's going to cool off because it's very hot. You don't necessarily think of mikvah. But now you can say that's all very well on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, it's mutar rechitza. Look at that. Rechitza is mutar on Shabbos. It's a separate discussion altogether. But Yom Kippur Asur Rechitza, one of the Surim on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur is bathing. Va'akol yodin de tovelhu umetaken atzmo. And therefore, everybody would know that if he was going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, he was going, either he was a zav or something happening and he's being metaken atzmo. My ikinamei, my hakam there we allow tvila. Ha'ikinamigzar atu metaken. Or tvi, we should say that just like you can't metaken leather, you also shouldn't be able to go to the mikvah because of tikkun. And there Rabbi said, Leike midi de isu Shabbos de b'Shabbos listeri uvi Yom HaKippurim litaser. He says, there's nothing that on Shabbos, that which is asur, which on Shabbos we matil Yom HaKippurim, we all say, why? V'hoyil u b'Shabbat lo ave le'mishrei v'Yom HaKippurim nami lo gazur alei. That's the concept of Rabbi. Rabbi says, hoyil. There can't be on parts different opinions, different halachas. So if you're going to tell me a guy can have the vinegar before he's eaten, then he can obviously have it after he's eaten because we don't have such a distinction in here in Hilchot Shabbos. Clear? Everybody clear? So that's the Gemara's question. Right? Because of this hoil. Rabbi, like him in Shabbos, Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim. Hoil with Shabbos, Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim, Shabbos. So the woman said, no. Hadar by Rava Miach. Rava's changed his mind on that long time ago. That's not relevant anymore. Look at the first wide lines of Rashi there. The Hadar by Rava Miach. The Kodim Tibu. Umoki Maditi bin Magavu Polet Kabaya. Vizu Nemra Tchile Vahadar Bay. Says, no, Rava's gone back on that whole idea. When we said there, Kodim Tibul, after Tibul, the Rava makes this distinction. Right? Because we said, I'm a Rava. I feel in time of Megama Bolea. Can't leave Naitibul, Kanakatibul. Is that, can Rava say that? Rava himself says, Hoyle. So Rava can't make this distinction between times. I don't think I pointed out clearly enough. There was a kasha of Rava on Rava. Right? That was Rava himself who said that difference before you've eaten and after you've eaten. And the Gemara said, but in Hilchot Shabbos and in Beitza, Rava himself is the one who said, you can't have this distinction. The Gemara says, no, that idea over there, with regards to Lifnei Tibul and Achar Tibul, Rava's already backed out on that one. That answer there is no longer an answer. And even Rava agrees that the answer is like Abaya, who says that our Mishnah is speaking about gargling and spitting out, and that's Asur, and it's Mutar if you just drink it. Makes no difference when you drink it, and now we're okay with regards to Hoyle. The Gemara says, B'maydeh me'hachad rabbi. How do you know Rava changed his mind on this, on our sugya over here, with regards to drinking before, gargling before, after you've eaten? Dilma me'hahi hadarbay. Unbelievable. Come on, look here. He says, maybe me'ahi, in that whole concept of Yom Kippur, of going to the mikveh, the savar, look at Rashi, the b'yom ha'kippurim asurit bol, v'lo aminan hoyil v'ahi itmar b'resha. Maybe that's what Rava, we know that Rava changed his mind about something. Why are you assuming that Rava changed his mind about this answer over here with Tibul and after Tibul? Maybe Rava was changing his mind in Beitza and said this notion of hoyil doesn't apply anymore, and our answer isn't a good answer. Because if Rava changed his mind on hoyil, we haven't got a stirrer now between Rava and Rava. Clear? Right? Robert? Right? So now, Moses says, no. Lo sal kedatach. Why don't we think that? The Tanya, kol chayve tfilot, tovlin kedarkan. We know the halacha, we're a brighter that says, mefurash, anybody who's got to go to the mikveh, tovil kedarkan, goes into the mikveh in a normal way, bein betisha ba'av, bein b'yom ha'kippurim, and therefore that's a brighter, and Rava certainly wasn't going to change his mind with regards to a brighter. And Rava was explaining how come the Braita allows you to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur when maybe it should be Asur. And he said, because it's Mutar on Shabbos, it's Mutar on Yom Kippur. Definitely didn't change that. So he changed the answer here. So basically, our Mishnah would be a situation where you can drink and swallow like a baya, but you can't gargle and spit out. Okay, now we carry on. Achoshet b'bot davne, if you've got pains in your loins, Amarav Abba Barazivda, Amarav Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. He says, look at Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon said, Kulam b'nei melachim. In other words, everybody can put this oil on him, this expensive oil on him. The Gemara says, Lemaimra, the Rav, Rabbi Shimon's firlei. Are you telling me over here that Rav, because it says here, Rav says, Alochadak Rabbi Shimon, that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon? Now we enter into the realm of this machlok we spoke about early on between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. How would Rav side with Rabbi Shimon? Hamar, but we've learned. Gemara quotes a Gemara over here in Bechorot. It says, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chia Mishmei de Rav, the name of Rav, Hai Musichria de Niziata. We've seen this before. Rav, this is if you've got some sort of, if you've got an urn and the tap on the urn is leaking and you wrap it with cloth, okay? You wrap some sort of towels around it. So it's a problem, right? Look at Rashi. Beged Korchin Bebirze Chavit Shel Cheres. A garment that's wrapped around a tap, some sort of barrel of an earthenware barrel. Why is it a problem? The hole isn't very good, and now you've got this clothing stuck in there, the garment stuck in there, this fabric, and it's going to get full of water or full of wine or full of whatever the liquid is, and it's going to cause schitter. It's going to be squeezed out on Shabbos, right? Asula hadukei b'yom etova, right? This is over here that on Yontif, or in our case Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to tighten it. Because if you tighten it, if you tie it tightly, you're going to squeeze it out. You're going to cause schita. Look at Rashi. B'neke mishum schita. Fa'af agav d'loke mechav en ischot. Even though it's not your intention, you just wanted to tighten it so it wouldn't leak. So it's a davar shel mitkaven. Right? Lo svirlei k'rabi shimon b'davar shel mitkaven. Rav says you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because he doesn't hold the davar shel mitkaven. So how can you tell me Rav says like Rabbi Shimon? We know Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rav's not a fan of Rabbi Shimon. halachically. You might like him as a person. He doesn't agree with his principles. So how can you tell me Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara says, no. Bahi, afilu Rabbi Shimon morde. He says, no. In this case over here, of Asur Lahaduka, in this example we brought over here, we saw that Rav says, no, even Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. That's not a steerer to prove anything about Rav and Rabbi Shimon. On that halacha of tying that stuff around the tap and causing schita, even Rabbi Shimon says it's Asur. And when Rav says it's Asur, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon. Right? Da'abayi v'rabbi, I'm a tarvayu. Because both Rav and Abayi say, Modi Rabbi Shimon v'psik reisha v'lo yamut. When it comes to psik reisha, cutting off a chicken's head is obviously going to die. Something which is vadai, which is definitely going to happen, there Rabbi Shimon doesn't say, davar she'eino mitkaven, that you have that intention. And this is a psik reisha. There's no doubt that if you tighten the fabric around the tap, it's going to cause schita. So the Gemara doesn't like it. V'ham Rav Chia bar Ashi amarav, halacha k'ra Rabbi Yehuda. But wait a second, we've got a straightforward mamar over here, where Rabbi Ashi says, I'm a Rav, halacha k'ra Rabbi Yehuda. Look at Rashi there. But davar she'eino mitkaven asur. Now we're not discussing psik reisha. Now we're suddenly seeing that Rav says, halacha k'ra Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to davar she'eino mitkaven. Can't tell me now psik reisha. Right? Rav Chanan bar Ami amar Shmuel, halacha k'ra Rabbi Shimon. See a machloket, yeah. And Shmuel says, that's like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chia bar Avi, matida below Gavri. And then we've got a Rav Chia bar Avi. He says, he doesn't even quote ma'amarim. Right, it's saying he says it in his name. Because what we see here, we said Rav Chia bar Ashi said the name of Rav. And we said Rav Chana bar Ami said the name of Shmuel. Rav Chia bar Avin says, no, it's a Rav Amar Halachat Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Halachat Rabbi Shimon. Don't quote Amorai. They said it themselves. Not that an Amora quoted Rav or an Amora quoted Shmuel. No, we've got a quote where Rav and Shmuel themselves have this machloket. Right? So how can we say there that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says no. Ani v'ari shebachur shebachabura. He says me and the lion in the group. Targimna, we explained it as follows. And before we say what we said, Umanu, who is this lion? Rabbi Chia bar Avin, who we quoted earlier on, right? Say halacha k'Rabbi Shimon v'lav bitame. We say no. The halacha, right, is like Rabbi Shimon, right? We said aloha is like Rabbi Shimon with regards to our Mishnah. We're discussing our Mishnah here. What our Mishnah said about bathing yourself with those oils, right? But not for Rabbi Shimon's reasons. So when Rav said aloha Rabbi Shimon, he wasn't agreeing with the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. So we don't have to worry about Rav not agreeing with Rabbi Shimon with regards to his halachic philosophy, let's call it. But in this particular case, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon, but for different reasons. But they agree for different reasons. What's going on over here? So now the Gemara says, "My halacha k'Rabbi Shimon v'lav letame." What does it mean? The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but not because of what he says for his reasons. So now the Gemara tries to understand what's going on here. Ilay malacha k'Rabbi Shimon deshari. If you want to say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, then it's mutar v'lav mitame, but not for his reasons, not because of davar she'eino mitkaven. Did Rabbi Shimon savar masi? V'rav savar lo masi. Because maybe Rabbi Shimon says that you can heal yourself, right? That this oil will heal you. And Rav says, it's not going to heal you anyhow. So what do we care? Put it on. It's not medicine. Right? That's what Rav says, like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you can put the oil on. And Rav says, you know what? Rabbi Shimon. But why? Rav says you can do it. It's going to heal you, but I'm allowing it still because B'nai Melachim, whatever the case is. Where Rav says, do it because it's not going to heal you. So there's no issue here of healing on Shabbos because it's not going to heal you anyhow. Vaha, but how can that be? How can that be the possibility as an answer? Because ha midiktani b'nei melachin sachin agabe makotehen shemin verid michlau demasi. Because we see over here that what's this whole basis? Why do princes put this stuff on you even during the week? Because it heals you. So he has proof it does work. So Rav's not going to argue with the facts. So that can't be the reason. Ella halacha k'Rabbi Shimon deshari v'lav mitame. Why? Why is it like Rabbi Shimon? Not because of his reasons. Did Rabbi Shimon savar af al gav delo shachiach shari? Because Rabbi Shimon says like this. Rabbi Shimon says even though it's not available, readily available, right? It's still mutar. Look at Rashi. Af al gav delo shachiach. The shemen varied. This rose oil bimkomo shel ze where he lived, where Rabbi Shimon lived, it wasn't common. And nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon said, Asach imenu v'damav yakarim, it's expensive, but you can still use it. V'akol yodin she'eino sach v'lerefua. And everyone knows that you're using it only for medicinal purposes. It's mutar. Why? D'chol Yisrael b'nei melachim. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Shimon says, even though it's expensive and it's rare, and everyone knows it's for medical purposes, do it because you're b'nei melachim. That's his reason. Rabbi Yehuda Osir, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, why not? D'muche chamilta. Because it's clear that it's for medicinal purposes. Now, v'rav namik Rabbi Yehuda spirula, and Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that if something is clear that it's for medicinal purposes, you can't use it. Ah, how come here he says you can? Elabim komo hu deshari, where Rav lives, it's mutar. Why does Rav say it's mutar? The shachiach, because it's very common. Where he lives, it's a common oil. V'sachin shemen vered v'lo muchamilte. Where Rav lives, it's not a big deal. Everyone's using it. So that's why Rav said it's mutar. You understand, the Gemara has created a machloket here now between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in the situation where it's rare. Where it's rare, so then it's pashut, that it's for medical purposes. And there, Rabbi Yehuda says, asu, davashal mitkaven, asu, whatever the case is. And Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. But Rav happened to say, halacha Rabbi Shimon, where he lived, because where Rav lived, it was common, and therefore wasn't a big deal. That's what the Gemara is saying, that Rav says it's okay, but not for Rabbi Shimon's reasons. What, Ira?
So the conclusion is, Ein Yisrael ki b'nei melachim.
According to Rav, yeah. According to Rav, right? Rav, Rav says, if it's shachiach, if it's common, no problem. In lo shachiach lo, uba'atra de Rav shachiach, mishneh de varda, where Rav was, it was shachiach, and therefore no problem. Hadran lach shmoneh shratzim. Okay. We've now got very few minutes to quickly run through this next Mishnah. Now we get on to carrying on with the Melachos of Shabbos from Ayin Gimel. We learned that list in Ayin Gimel. And yeah, we start off with tying and untying knots. We didn't really answer Robert's question of the psikresha and the davashel mitkaven with regards to the Rabbanan. Bli neder, I will have an answer tomorrow. And it's Friday, so if you hear not, otherwise, you can get an answer from somebody who was here. Okay. So these are the knots, says the Mishnah, that you would be chayev alehin, right? Kesher ha-gmalin, camel knots, the kesher ha-sapanim, gamalin or camel riders, right? And the sapanim are boat riders, whatever you call it, sailor, right? So kesher gamalim, the camel riders have certain types of knots. We'll see in a minute, the Gemara's going to discuss a couple of options, right? They have their own types of knots. And ukeshem shu chayev al kishuran, just like he's chayev if he ties the knot, kachu chayev al heteran, so too is he chayev on untying the knot. Now, I think we discussed it when we learned in Ayin Gimel the notion of a kesher shel kayama, right? What the problem is tying knots that last for a long time, right? And I think I mentioned there that about a week, if it's going to last for 7 days or so, that's really kesher. It's a machloket in the poskim, 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, how long it has to last for. Look at Rashi Abia. Elu ksharim, amenuyin b'shabbat b'avot melachot diktani. We learned it there in the list of halachim in Ayin Gimel. Hakosher v'amatir kesher shel kayama. Yeah, if you tie a knot or untie a permanent knot. She'eno matirol alam, which is normally not untied forever. Dumia de kushrei chute yiriot anifzakot. What is this similar to? We learn it from the Mishkan in the knots that were tied in all the yiriot, the blankets they use for the roof, right? What's the word, Yeriot? The reams of stuff that they would make for the roof. So there they'd be knots when they finalized the ends of the weaving process, they would tie fine knots. Like if you've got a nice Turkish carpet, you see at the end it's got these knots that end off the whole weaving process. That would be the classic kesher shel kayama in the Mishkan. It's like this, Rabbi Meir Omer, Remeir says, if there's any knot that you've got, which you can untie with one hand, right, then you wouldn't be chayev. Right? You wouldn't be chayev. Rashi says, that's not very tight. Even if you intended to tie it for kayama. So let's say the tying would be an issue. But now you come to untie it, and you can just do it with one finger, no issue. Okay? Goes like this. My kesher gamalin v'kesher sapanim. What are these knots we're speaking about of the camel riders and the sailor knots? Ilay mekitre de kitre bezimama. He was saying Kitri is Kesher, right? The Tet and the Shinovi and Aramaic and Hebrew interchange. So Ilema Kitra is Kesher, Kasha, right? The Kitra that you tied, Bezamama, right? What is Zamama? Look at Rashi here. Menakvin la'anaka b'chotmea. They make like they pierce the camel's nose. You've all seen camels that have got, even bulls have it and oxen have it, like a bull, a ring through their nose. So they pierce the nose. They put through like a, in the other, Mishnah says over here, like a strap, a ring of it, like a strap, like a round strap. Today they use it with steel. And they put it in there and it's fastened and they never take it out. Right? You want to tie now the camel to another animal or whatever to follow in a row or something like that. Right, kosher tzua aruka botata bat. You bring a long strap into this little strap. The koshin ba upamim shabbat. Occasionally, you might end up untying it. Okay, so that is what we're talking about for camels. So he says, Elam, do you want to say that? Is that up? Is that the answer? Kitra de katra b'zama, the kitra de katra b'istardia. What's istardia? Istardia over here is. Right, so that would be the kesher, and istardi is gamhu kamin tabat. It's also some sort of a ring. Shosin min akal o min ritzua benekev sheberosh asfina. Something that you'd put into like at the top of the boat, right? You have it at the top of the boat so that you can anchor the boat. For to kesher milkev, it stays there forever. Because you want to anchor the boat. Kosher ritzua boto tabat umamida ba vekeshrotzel atir matir ritzua vinotla. Same idea. You want to tie the boat to the port, or you want to tie the animal to the post. Those are the same ideas. Now, is that what we're speaking about, says the Gemara? The Gemara says, but it can't be. Why? Because high kesher she'eno shel kayamahu. Ela kitra de zamama gufe ude istra gufe. That's not called a kesher shel kayama. That is called making a zamama or making an astrida. That is an astrida or a zamama. Even though you're tying a knot, but that's not what you're doing. You're actually making something, and that's usher for a different reason. We talk about knots, tying knots. That's not called tying a knot. That's called making a kesher. Today you take a steel loop, you'd push it through the animal, you then tighten it, you'd come and weld it, and that would be the knot. They never had steel or ability to do that in those days, so they did it with ropes. So that can't be what we're speaking about. Right? Ela kitra de zamama gufe. Right? So what is it? We haven't got an answer. We don't know what it is. Remember, remember in the Mishnah, that call kesher that you have with one hand. Bai Rav Achtavoyi. Right, so it works like this. Bai Rav Achtavoyi, Achvei Demar Acha, Anivu Rabbi Meir Mahu. So he points out to be showed like a tie, like some sort of like a tie that you can slide up and down, right? An aniva, not a proper knot. With regards to Rabbi Meir, what would be the case over there? Right? Time and remain mishum de yacholat ro ba'acham yaravu v'hanam yacholat tiro. Is Rabbi Meir's reasoning because you could open it with one hand, but you can definitely open it with one hand? Or deal med time and remain mishum de lo mihadek v'ham mihadek. Or maybe no, there the reason why it's mutar to open is because you haven't tightened it very hard. Here with a tie, if you make a nice double Winston knot and you put it very tight, it's a very tight knot, even though you can start up and down and easily open it. Maybe that would be Asura over here because of Hiduk. Gemara says a Teiku. They haven't given an answer. Next Mishnah quickly. Yes, Sharin, She'ein Chavin Alein, Kekesha, Gamali, Kesha. There's some types of knots in the Mishnah that you aren't Chayev on like you would be for Gamalim and Sapanim. Bear in mind, we haven't yet understood what is a Kesher, Gamalim, and Kesher, Sapanim. Right? Kosheret Isha, Miftach Haluka. If a woman like ties together the straps of her garment. She's got straps. You know, often a woman, I'm sure one of you, your wives, somebody's ever said, please just tie me at the back, right? V'chutei svacha, or the strands of this head covering. V'shel piskia. Right, look at Rashi over here. Miftach aluka, kamo sheyesh legachalim. He said, like, I've got, I think that he says over here, legalachimia, I think the galachia is like a priest. I think that's what she's saying over here. Anybody got a note there? Says like these garments and they got like him kain leshonot like tails, like they got like tail coats, like tails on one side or the other. The koshrin shlemin bekatef small, the shell small bekatef yamin, and like a breasted over, and you tie the left on the right on the left, do some sort of bandering around. Says every day they untie them. Lord down in middle, keshekem. It's not called a permanent knot. Umuta lechatchilin. That's muta lechatchilin. Not even just muta. It's not even not asur. It's muta lechatchilin. And the svacha here is this like hat thing. V'shel piskia, Rashi says here, azor rachab, like a wide belt. V'chotin tluyin b'roshor le'kosho ben. It's got all these sort of like things that you tie on. and you tie it up together of some kind. Verotsuot min al the sandal, your shoelaces. Interesting, yeah, he says shoelaces. Shoelaces seem to be something you could tie. We don't tie shoelaces with a double knot. We use a bow. But maybe if you're going to open it anyhow, when you take your shoes off, according to this mystery, you'll be able to tie a double knot. Maybe. Venodot yayin, and the bottles of wine, these like Rashi says over here, nodot yayin shel or, these leather barrels, of shek, kofin piyem, koshin, you know, you fold it over and you tie it up like those leather flasks.
Darren?
Yeah?
So I just want to go back a little bit. The previous Mishnah said that you are liable for these two knots, and in this one it says that you're not.
No, yesh lecha ksharin she'ein chayalein ke kesher agamalim. They touch it on the kesher agamal and the kesher asapan, you chayev. We're not 100% sure what they are, those kesher, but let's have a permanent knot you'd be chayev for. Mishnah is saying there are knots which you can do, and you wouldn't be chayev like you would be on the knots in the previous Mishnah. These are different knots, and for these you aren't chayiv. And yeah, Rashi says some of them even mutta, you're allowed to do. So these aren't those knots. These are different knots. These are knots like tying a belt or tying a woman's thing. They're different knots. These are clearly not permanent knots. These are allowed to be done. Right? And so the kedera, and so you've got over here the kedera shel basar. Right? And like you've got like some sort of pot of meat and you want to tie it up. Look at Rashi over here, the kedera shel basar. Right, pa'amim she'koshrin beged le'fia. Sometimes you like tie something over it to stop something coming in or to protect it. And when Rabbi Yaakov Omer koshrin lifnei habehema bishvil shelo tetzei. He says even on Shabbos you can tie something in front of, look in front of the animal. He says lifnei habehema chevel berochav petach. You want to like guard off the door, like put a rope across the door. You can do that to stop animal going out. Gemara says like this. Let's just quickly try and finish off. Tomorrow's a long daf as well. Quickly. Ha, Gemara says, ha, go for kashya. We've got a bit of a problem, an internal steer here. Amarta yesh ksharin she'ein chayvin alein kesha gavin kesha sapanin. You said that there is some sort of knot that you aren't chayev like the previous knot. Says your Gemara's asking your question as well, almost klar. Right? So that there's some sort of knot which you aren't chayev like in the previous Mishnah. Right? So what do we say? Chiyuv hu deleika, which appears that there's no chiyuv. Ha isur ikabe, still asur. You just on chayev. Doesn't mean it's mutar. Vahadar tani, then we immediately learn straight afterwards. Kosheret isha miftach haluka, filichatchila. It appears that she can tie her coat, even lechatchila. So make up your mind. Either it's asur, it's no chiyuv, but it's still asur. But now you tell me it's actually mutar. So what's the hachik amar? Yesh ksharin she'en chun alein kesher hagamarin kesher zapanim. There are some knots which are not like the camel riders as up in Umay Niu, and what are they? Those are not the Kitre Bezabima, right? What are those knots over here? Right? So the Gemara is saying over here, what are those? Kitre de Kitre Bezabima, the Kitre Beistruda. The types we spoke about there, so the Gemara seems to be concluding that those loops and knot things are the knots we're speaking about, and those. Are they not like that? And chiyuvu deleika ha'isur ika. And then there'd be knots that are similar to those knots, but not those knots, which you'd have an isur to do, but not a chiyuv. And then there are those shemotrin achachin, some which are mutar achachin. And what are those? Kishered miftach echulak. That's all the ones we saw in our Mishnah over here. We'll end it over here. We'll carry